We're back. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to 2024, a year of promises I hope to keep this time. So my Spotify Wrapped came in late last year. And first off, thank you all for listening. To have more than 100 people that had me in their top five podcasts is something that I really do appreciate. And you know the saying that comparison is the thief of joy. Well, I wasn't the happiest with the fact that my statistics from 2022 dropped, but I take full accountability because I know I wasn't the most consistent with that. Anyways, I have a celebrity here. Someone I admire so much. And let me be the first to say that this is her first podcast as a doctor. I don't know whether she has done any podcast before, but as doctor, let me not say her name. Let her be the one to introduce herself. But yeah, Dr. Ma, please, the people want to meet you.
Hi, guys. My name is Dr. Uyesa. Dr. Uyesa Odiase, and it's really an honor to be here. Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Thank you so much for honoring this invite. I was actually late today, but she was very patient with me. So before we get to the topic of the day, let me ask you if you would mind sharing a brief testimony. Because I know when I read the stuff you put on your status, I was gagged, like, oh, wow. I could relate to some things, but I mean, that was a very beautiful testimony.
Okay, so, I didn't even expect this. Okay, so just a brief summary of my life. I graduated from high school in 2015, from Lagoon Secondary School, Lekki, Lagos. And I really had a path for my life, right? I really thought that my life would go smoothly right from SS1. I already knew I was going to go to America to study medicine. And, you know, I already planned out my life. I already had mentors. I was already working towards, you know, going to very top universities in America. I'd already written the SATs. I was already set, you know, and then things just took a turn for me in 2015 when I didn't get into prep school. I wanted to go to a prep school and things didn't turn out the way I wanted it to go. And I just found myself, I ended up taking a gap year. And then at some point, I just knew that, okay, God was leading me to go to America. So January of 2016, I moved to America. I got admission to the University of Iowa. Like, things were working out well for me. I didn't even know anything about the school, but I just knew that God was like, this is where you're supposed to be. So I'd gone there in faith. I'd packed my bags, everything. And then, you know, it was hard. Yes, I dealt with racism. I had a very funny roommate that, you know, I don't know, she says stuff like, because I was from Africa, like I was poor. She used to tell people that I was living there for free. You know, just all this, you know, all this bias, you know, against you for no reason because of the color of my skin. And God helped me. I overcame all of that. I was on the dean's list. I was an honor student. Things were looking up, you know, and all of a sudden I'm just hearing, oh, you have come back to Nigeria. Like, things were going south for my family. And I remember just looking at God, like, I don't understand, like, you know,
just
even
got here.
Yes, like, I just got here. Even like the process of getting there, like even getting my visa, everybody in front of me was denied. So I was like, really, this is it, you know, God really showing me that I'm supposed to be here. And December, I had found myself back in Nigeria. I was so confused. And I remember, you know, just even finding out that I'll come back, I was contemplating, you know, taking my own life. But, you know, God was really merciful to me to come back. And, you know, I'm looking at myself now, 2024, written my final exams as a doctor here in Babcock. And I'm really so grateful. The experiences, the things that I've learned here, I'm just really like, God is really good. Like, you know, even when your life doesn't go as planned, you know, it's not the end of the world. So I'm really grateful for that. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Like, God is really good. Wow. Okay, so straight to the topic of the day. We're talking on imposter syndrome. And first, I'm sure you've done your research. So what is imposter syndrome to you?
Okay, so from what I've been seeing, right, I would say, first of all, like most people that will be listening to this, right, you've heard this multiple times and you think to yourself, it's something so, you know, something so difficult or something that is, you know, so complex that only a certain group of people experience. But, you know, from my research, I found out that, like, it's kind of a common thing that most people experience. So it's basically feeling like an imposter, basically, right? You feel like you don't belong. You feel like a fraud because you feel like the qualifications or the things that you've achieved in life, you know, are mostly by chance. You feel like, oh, at some point, somebody's going to come and, you know,
out to you.
Yes, you know, report you or just be like, hey, you're a liar, or, you know, this is the truth about me, you know, or you feel like all the achievements or the accomplishments you have in life are not because of the fact that you're actually qualified for them. You feel like it's just chance. So you constantly feel this need that, like, you have, you constantly feel self-doubt, you know, in your own abilities, and you feel like everybody around you is just going to find out that you're a fraud, basically.
This is something I didn't think of before, but as you were saying this, the first thing that came to my mind was nepotism. Because you mentioned something about you got things by chance. And I just imagine how, we call them nepo babies. How do you feel? Because you have your life panned out for you. You have all these resources. So it's like when you leave school, you only set what we call connect. You get connect, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I think that group of people would definitely go through this type of, you know, that I didn't work hard for this and I just happened to get it. Even though definitely, they did put in the work, because you can have the resources, but you don't have the talent, you don't have the work ethic. I don't know, Shad, that's just something that just randomly came to my mind. Okay, so my question, because I'm going to ask you a series of questions. The first one is, can you share a personal experience with imposter syndrome and how you navigated through that?
Okay, so one disclaimer I want to give now is the fact that I still struggle with this, right? And I feel like, you know, one of the things I love the most about a podcast like this is the fact that, you know, we don't really have to come on here and be like, yes, I'm a professional. You know, I can actually say that, hey, like, even in, you know, researching about this, I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that, you know, this is me, like, you know. And I say this with all honesty that, you know, as I was studying for this, you know, I was really like, wow, you know, I struggle with this too. And I'm learning, you know, to navigate through it now. So I'm not really an expert on all of this, right? So one thing I would say is, you know, one of the fondest memories, or one of the things that really comes to mind, you know, whenever I think of this, was there was an exam I took I think 2 years ago. I was in my fourth year of medical school, and it was in radiology. And I remember preparing for that exam, I really, really felt so, I felt so unprepared. I felt, I attended all the classes, right? But like doing study group with my friends, I realized that when they teach us this one in class, you know, people are like, yes, when the man said, you know, it's radiology. So we have like, you know, you study at some point, you study like the ultrasound, you study x-rays, things like that. And I'm like, when they say this one, you know, my friends were really like moving the stuff. And I'm like, when they teach us this one, I was in class, you know. And I remember that day, I just felt so foolish. Like, I was like, how can I attend all the classes and, you know, still be foolish? And I remember that day, God was like, just sit down there and just like read with them. So I remember, I just, all the feelings of guilt and foolishness, I was just like, you know what, just sit down. And I studied with my friends, you know, and we wrote the exam. So the exam wasn't even all the best. There were so many questions I didn't finish. And I remember I was like, thank God for life, Sha. At least I wrote something. And I remember the results came out and I was the highest in my class. I got an 80 something. And you know, in medical school, like, if you know, 80 something is like a big, I remember I was like, how did I get 80 something? But I was like, okay, thank God. And I remember people were like, you are the highest in class, so how did you do it? I was a radiologist. I'm like, this is a beg, you know. And I remember that had happened, and you know, the department, what they do is that they put your full name, your matric number, and your score on the notice board at their department. So fast forward to, I think, some months later, you know, one of my juniors now was about to take the exam, and she came to my room one day and she's like, oh yeah, I want to ask you something. And I was like, okay. And she's like, please, can you tell me how to go about studying for radiology? I saw that you were the highest in your class. You guys, Bill. I was like, they've caught me. I was really like, somebody has finally found out that I'm a fraud. Like, somebody has finally found out that I'm actually really dumb. And I remember, you know, when she came to my room and she was asking me, like, how did you do it? What resources were you able to use? I remember I was just like, man, I don't know. Like, I felt like, how am I even in medical school? Like, how am I even in 400? Like, you know, I just really felt so many emotions of, like, you know, how incompetent I was and how I felt like I didn't get those grades. And I didn't cheat, though. I actually read for this exam and I wrote it. So I remember, you know, her asking me all those questions, and I kept on, you know, being like, I don't know. Maybe you go and meet. You know, I just always felt like there was always somebody better than me. So I'm always, you know, like, directing her to somebody else. And it's like, no, you are the one that got that grade. Like, you are good enough, you know. So how did I navigate through that? I know that at that time I handled it badly, because I kept on telling her, no, go and meet this other person in my class, because I felt like I just wasn't good enough. So I think, you know, in retrospect, maybe I would have just, you know, just been honest about how I studied, you know, as opposed to just being like, you've caught me. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm not really smart. So yeah, that's just one experience.
Wow. I can relate to some things he said, but this is not about me. So let's move on. My next question, how can individuals identify imposter syndrome? Like, what are the signs and symptoms?
Okay, so I think one of the things, you know, even from personal experience, is the fact that you are constantly doubting yourself. Mm-hmm. So I would use a personal example. For me, I've always held positions of leadership. I've always, you know, held some form of leadership position or the other. And each time somebody would come and ask me, like, how did you do that? How did you balance medical school with politics in Busa? How did you balance medical school with being a leader in church and leading a fellowship and things like that? The first thing that comes to my head is not, how can I encourage this person? The first thing that comes to my head is, they've caught me, these people will naturally see that is a lie. Oh, like, I don't really have my life together. You know, the first thing you always want to do is run away. You know, even whenever I'm called to give like a speech on something, I'm always like, why me? Like, why am I the one? Like, when there are other more qualified people. And, you know, that's the first thing. You're constantly doubting yourself. Another thing is that you are constantly thinking that every single thing you had is not because of the fact that you're qualified, is as a result of luck. Mm-hmm. So to you, you're like, and the reason why I probably got the highest on that score is probably because the questions were not even that hard. Mm-hmm. You know, last year, their questions were more difficult. It's just because this year's one was easier, or it's just because I just happened to be, you know, you're just constantly thinking that, yes, like, I'm just not good enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that happens. And then another thing again is that, you know, even when people praise you, right, even when people are like, oh wow, you did so well and everything, you just feel like, why? Like, you know, you're only doing this, it's only a matter of time before you really figure out who I am. So these are like the subtle ways. And, you know, one of the things that I was also thinking is that, okay, what's the difference between this and humility, right? Because some people might be like, but if I now, you know, yes, you know, that means I'm now proud, you know. And I remember, like, I'd seen a video one time where a woman was, you know, talking about how, like, if somebody gives you a compliment, like, accept it, you know, don't be like, hey, I don't really, okay. It's not exactly, you know, like, just accept it. But, you know, the subtle difference between humility and, you know, the imposter syndrome is that, you know, humility is that you're comparing yourself, your capabilities to the task at hand, and you're like, okay, I'm actually not so competent to do this, right? So then I'm humble and then can take on the task. But imposter syndrome is whether or not I'm qualified, I don't even care about the task ahead. This is about me. Like, I am just not good enough. Like, even though people may see I'm qualified, you know, I just don't think I am. And another thing with the imposter syndrome is that there's proof that you can actually do well. There's actually proof that you've done this in the past, right? But you still constantly see yourself as not good enough. Mm. So those are the subtle signs. Like, look at it. Like, I've done this before. I've done not even the exact same thing, but I've excelled before, but I still keep on beating myself up, you know, about it. So those are the subtle signs you see.
Mm. Okay. So let me just add another sign or symptom is the constant fear of failure, especially when you have, like you said, background or recent success. Even if you don't, like, you've done it before. Let me give an instance. Okay, I think, let me share a personal story so it's more relatable. So there's this event that I wanted to plan with my cousin. He has an Airbnb and everything. So I wanted to have, like, let me give my ideas, people will steal it. Anyways, I had this idea of, like, a pop-up spa. You know, just convert the Airbnb to a pop-up spa for a day where you can get your pedicure, your facials, haircuts, all those things. And then you pay just one fee and you have access to all these things for that day. Obviously, there's music, there's drinks. That was the idea. I started the planning. I'd written the proposal. I'd done the budgeting. Everything was ready. I've planned events before. I've worked with people. I've done a lot of creative direction. So I have a resume for this type of thing. But at the point, I was just like, oh my gosh, Bill, you can't see this through. It's not going to work. You're going to fail. You won't have PR. And that was how that thing didn't hold, though. Just that constant, just reminding myself that, this cannot work. Mm. This won't work, you know? And it's a type, because some people think imposter syndrome is a one thing. It's not a linear thing. It's very widespread. And it happens to all genders, all demographics. Like, there's not a straight line. And I didn't think of it before, but because I know when you were talking, my mother was like, I don't have imposter syndrome. Because when people hype me, I don't mind, you know, just push my ego a little bit. But that's not just it. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. You might be sound in this area, but in this other area, you have this like constant fear of failure, mm-hmm. and anxiety that, more, I can't do this. But in fact, you can, and you have done it before. Mm-hmm. But why now? The same way people think I'm a very open person, I don't have problem with crowd, and I have addressed crowds. I've spoken to thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you should call me, to come and talk to a church, or come and talk like week of prayer, or when those things happen, often if I'm the one that volunteered myself to say, let's do this, I'll start shaking. I'm like, you knew this, like, you've done it before. Why are you still scared? Like, how are you still having stage fright? All of these things that you've done before. And thinking now is imposter syndrome, because why are you afraid? You've done it before. You have the capacity to handle these things, but you just don't want to believe, even with all the experience, that you can actually see this through. So that is also imposter syndrome. And another symptom is perfectionism. Like, when everything needs to be perfect, and when it's not, you either cancel or you either like start overstressing, overthinking it out. It's also imposter syndrome, because you're just excusing yourself or attributing other factors to why you can't do this certain thing. So it's like, if it doesn't go like this, that is like that, I can't do it, it's not going to work, I don't like it. Do you understand?
Yeah. So
if you're listening, don't think this is a straight thing. Like, there's so many ways that, what's it called, imposter syndrome can manifest. So yeah, that's my little take on that for signs and symptoms.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. So the next thing is causes and triggers. Do you think there are things that trigger this imposter syndrome? Like, obviously, you can't go about your day every day and you're thinking imposter syndrome, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough, self-doubt. But there are things that would happen that would trigger these thoughts. So do you have anything that comes to mind?
I think there's so many different things that can actually trigger this. And it may not just be a one-time event. I feel like for me personally, and I think, you know, it's also... how do I put this now? There's so many factors. Let me put it that way, right? So I think even from, you know, like childhood, you know, the type of things that, type of upbringing you had, or the type of way that like you were trained in school, and subtle things like that, right? Can, you know, cause you to start to develop the imposter syndrome, right? Okay, so I'll give an example, right? So for me, I grew up... in a household where, I don't know, I was the miracle baby of my parents. My parents had me, I think, like in their 30 of marriage. And, you know, it was like a very big deal, like, oh, he's our first child and everything. And with that came a lot of responsibility, because my parents have always like raised me to be a leader right from childhood. Like, I was always the child to always act right. Like, I never misbehaved. You know, this one, and they're like, yeah, she's a baby. Like, let her, nah, I never had
no
that.
Room
like,
for that.
You act correct from day one, right? So, that put a lot of pressure on me, not to say that, oh, my parents were now like bad or something, but it put that sense of responsibility always in me from a very, very young age, to be an example to my siblings, to be the standard for my siblings, right? And then also to my academics, to, you know, doing very well, like from, you know, from a very young age in primary school, I was like always top of my class. Right. And I was raised for a period of time with my grandma, my maternal grandma, who is late now. But, you know, being raised by my grandma and everything, I remember like early childhood, like coming home and everything, and maybe like not coming first overall, and maybe like a boy not coming first overall, maybe like I'm second or something. I should be like, oh, wee, like, why, like, does he have two heads? Something like that. You know, I used to be like, ah, does he have two heads? Like, what does that even mean? Like, you know, but I, yes. That was when my grandma used to say, you know, like, I remember there was one time in particular when my grades weren't, you know, the best. And I know that she didn't mean it like to, be mean, or, you know, to say that I was dumb or anything, you know, but, you know, I was used to that high, you know, standard of like, you have to be the best. So when, you know, I'd changed schools, or, and, you know, we had moved to another state because my dad was transferred and everything, you know, and I had to go to a new school, and I was now not the best. Like, I had dropped, I think I even, I came second to the last. So I was like really, really bad. I feel like that's when I started realizing that, wow, like, you know, I'm not that girl anymore. You know, I'm no longer that, you know, smart girl. So I struggled with my identity almost, you know, because I'm used to that. You know, you have to be the best. You have to be the best. You know, even though nobody was actually putting that pressure on me, like, in, now that I look back at it, you know, but I was just like, oh, I'm used to being, you know, the first overall. Why am I not the first overall? So sometimes it may also be like the way that we were raised as children, you know, with our parents, people around us, and also like teachers too, you know. Some of the schools that I went to, you know, there was this, you know how like in secondary school now there's the science students, there's the art students, you know. So in my school, it was like, you know, the top of the top, the best people, I went to girls only high school. So the best girls were the science students. So, I mean, me, I'm not saying me, I want to be, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. And the top four girls in my set are also saying when they grow up, they also want to be doctors. It's like, who are you to now? Do you get, who am I, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know? So I always felt that, incompetence almost, like, okay, like, you know, before I was one of the top people in my class, you know, in junior secondary, but by the time I got to senior secondary, my grades just started taking a bad turn, you know? And so I just always used to feel like, you know, and then the teachers weren't making things better. You know, if you, they're teaching further math now and the two smartest girls in class nod their head that they understand, you know, they move on. So me, I'm like, maybe it's only the smart people, you know? So things like that. So it's these subtle things I feel like, you know, that kind of contributes towards, you know, the imposter syndrome. And I feel like also even taking on new tasks. So now, apart from your childhood, maybe like now as you're older now, right, you're taking on a new task, something that you've never done before. It can trigger it because you're not thinking to yourself, oh, am I capable of doing this yet? Yes, I may have planned, like, you know, your spa example. Yes, I may have planned, you know, events before, but I've never done a spa event. And you know, there that time when I planned this, you know, the vendor did not come on time. I look at how, you know, I looked like, you know, that means I can't do this. So, you know, it's like you're taking on a new task and you start to doubt yourself. So these are the, I think these are the few examples I'll give of triggers, you know, and sometimes also maybe like past failures or maybe past mistakes you've made kind of are like, you know, are kind of amplified now in your life. You're like, hey, that one time when I didn't, you know, write this answer, that's the reason why I even failed that exam. Or, you know, subtle things like this, I feel like they're the things that can trigger it.
Hey, they've out-talked me on my own show. I literally don't have anything to add to that. So let me just move to the next question. Do you believe your support system plays a very important role or just a role at all in managing imposter syndrome?
Definitely. I say this because I remember even when you told me to be on your podcast and you were like, oh, we're going to be talking about two topics, you know, you can pick one of the two topics. I remember like one of the topics there was imposter syndrome. I was like, is Bill like in my life? Like, like if anybody should talk about, and I felt so inadequate. I remember like talking to my friends, like, I mean, there were three of my friends, you know, with me at the time. And I remember just telling them like, how, like, I was like, of all, like, in the of all the people in Babcock University, of all people in anywhere in this world to talk about imposter syndrome, why me? You know, like, I felt very, very incompetent. And I remember, like, I was telling my friends, like, ah, me, like, what would I now go and say on the podcast? What people come and laugh at me now? You know, that sort of thing. And they were like, we, like, there's something that you have to offer. Like, there's some experience that you bring to the table. There's something that you bring. So don't be afraid. Like, just go and speak your truth. You know, that's why I feel like, you know, a support system is so important, because when you express these fears or these doubts about yourself to other people, you know, when they're able to encourage you and be like, oh, you know, like, you know, you actually have, you have something to bring to the table. Yeah, you're not a psychologist. You know, I remember one of my friends, you know, she was telling me about how, like, you know, she had watched, I think his sermon about anxiety or something. And the man is not a clinical psychologist. Like, he's not a specialist, right? But his own experience with it, right, resonated with her and it helped her through, you know, dealing with her own anxiety. So it really made me see that you don't have to be a board certified, you know, clinical psychologist, you know, with 10 years of experience. You've experienced imposter syndrome and your story could resonate with other people and actually help them too. So support is so important.
Yeah. I agree totally with that, because if you have the wrong set of people around you, especially in times where you're doubting yourself, it's making it so much worse, because I'm feeling doubtful and then you're telling me that, maybe you're actually not that good though. Maybe you should probably just take a few lessons and maybe improve on this and that. That's not what I want to hear at the time. And by the time you tell me that, my self-esteem is going to go down the drain. Like, if it was really low, it's under the ground, it's 6 foot under. So having people that support you is very important. And that's why I don't take friendship lightly. Like, it's not a word to throw around. Get used to acquaintance. You can be acquainted with people.
Real.
But that friendship is a relationship. Do you understand? And you have to, you know, at every point in your life, but I'll say especially now, this when you're like leaving university, you have to have those people around you that will say, okay, we're going to support you. If you mess up, we'll call you out though. Mm-hmm. But when you're on the right track, all we can do is to support you and like help you to get to where you need to be. That's why I feel you have friends that do certain things. You don't push their crafts. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity to, you know, recommend your friend and you don't. Like, if you're listening, that is you. Side eye. But yeah, just, you know, just to add, you have to, and if you're not the best of friends, you can actually work on yourself. Mm-hmm. I know people complain that, oh, I want to have supportive friends. Or you as a person, the few friends you have, you don't support them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, what if this is karma? What if this is the universe telling you that we're giving you what you give out? Do you understand? Because a lot of times you attract what you give. So yeah, do better as friends. I don't know. I think I was throwing sort of shade to someone. But to add, something I noted was confidence doesn't equate to competence. You know, you can boldly be terrible at a job, but you're confidently seeing rubbish in a class. You know, when someone is presenting and they're seeing rubbish with their full chest. And then to you, you might be thinking, okay, I'm a shy person. I'm an introvert. And then you think, okay, that is now triggering your imposter syndrome. You're feeling that because I'm not out there, I'm not good enough. I don't have the capacity to do a lot of things. Just know that because you're not, you know, out there, doesn't mean you can't do those things. It's a personal thing. Like, take your time to, you know yourself, to discover yourself. And when you're ready, then you can branch up. But it doesn't stop you. It doesn't make you less competent at your job. Yeah. You don't have to be that outside person. You don't have to be that loud person. You can be on your own, do your thing, get your path right, and like just move about your life. So don't think because you're not the most outgoing person that you're not as qualified as someone that is a social butterfly.
Yeah.
Because it's about what is inside. So that's just something I wanted to add. My next question. What advice will you give to listeners? Okay, I think you've already said a lot of things, but is there anything that you'd like to add to anyone that is listening and that is struggling with imposter syndrome?
Just to, you know, go off of, you know, what you were saying before, really just understand yourself. I think that was one thing that over the years here in Babcock, you know, holding various leadership positions helped me to do, because if you don't understand yourself, right, you start to compare yourself with other people. So the most, and I always like to give examples, by the way, because I feel like it's more practical and it makes me, you know, seem more relatable to people. First of all, I'm very, very, I don't want to say I'm very introverted, because people will be like, ah, you that a lot of people know, right? But I like to keep to myself a lot. I keep my circle very, very small. I may know a lot of people, right? But a lot of people don't really know so much about me, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm, to an extent, an introvert, right? And one of the things that could also be a risk factor or be a trigger for, you know, the imposter syndrome is people that are introverted, people that like to internalized thoughts. And I found that that's how I am, right? If something should happen, I'll be like, okay, you know, this person did not greet me the way they normally do. You know, I start to like internalize that and everything. I'm just like, that's what person I am, right? I notice little details. I keep on replaying the scenario in my head. I'm like, okay, did she do this because of this? You know, so understand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you understand yourself very well and everything, it makes you able to function better. So in the leadership positions that I hold and everything, you know, that I've held in the past rather, I realized that my method of leadership isn't dictatorship. Like, I don't come and be like, everybody shut up, this is what I'm going to tell you to do, everybody sit down here. Like, I'm more of like, okay, hi guys, like, let's introduce ourselves. Okay, what's going on? What do you guys think? This is what I think, right? This is the plan, but let me hear from you guys. Like, you know, that type of like community effort. I found that, like, you know, it helps people feel like they're part of, you know, the bigger picture, and they're able to help, right? So I found that that's how I am, right? That's how type of person I am. I like to work with people. I like to understand, like, okay, why didn't you come for this meeting, right? What happened to you? Like, what's going on? That's the type of person I am,
right? I can attest to that, by the way.
It was in my committee, you know, so that's how I work with people, right? But I remember one time somebody had come to me and was like, you don't even command people on the group chat. We don't even feel your presence. You're supposed to come and be telling people what, and I'm like, you know, yeah, there's a part where, like, obviously, it's not as if I'm one of those leaders that everybody come and tell me to sit down, right? But I understand myself. So I don't need to act like person A to mm-hmm. be effective as a leader, right? You may not agree with my style of leadership, right? But I found that this is the person I am. I like to lead people this way. So because I understand myself, I am okay with myself. So to deal with the imposter syndrome or to give advice is, number one, understand yourself. What type of person am I, right? And then identify it. Like whenever you feel like the symptoms we've already said about this imposter syndrome, you feel like, oh, you're not good enough. You feel like everything is by chance. You feel like somebody's good. Like acknowledge the fact that this mm-hmm. is the imposter syndrome, right? And take out time to talk about it with people that you trust to, like you said, right? I've had times in my life where, like, I remember one of my exams that came out that was the second highest in my class. I think my fourth year of medical school, one of my first exams that I wrote in internal medicine, I was second overall highest score. And I remember, like, you know, my friends, like, you know, I was with a group of friends, right? And my friends, they were like, oh my God, that means you're going to do internal medicine. This is already a sign, 400 level, you know, you're already done that. And I remember one girl just being like, most people that haven't got the highest score. It's even because the exam was easy now. It's even luck. How would they even just be guessing? And I was like, girl, are you even
my friend?
Yes, like, girl, why would you? And, you know, like, that statement she made, you know, really affected me because I was like, maybe he's even local, you know, because, you know, actually it was only MCQ, you know, maybe if they're even giving me, you know, so it's like, be with people that genuinely are there for your good. And these things are subtle. Watch people that are always ready to be like, now, don't mind. It's not even as if she's even smart. Those are the type of people that, like, you need to be.
Red flag.
Yeah, like, why are you always ready to be like, no, this person, you know, so be around people that genuinely support you and have these discussions with them because they're the ones that would encourage you, right? And then also, another thing, again, I would like to say is that, you know, being successful, the more successful you are, doesn't take away this imposter syndrome. So don't be like, oh, it's because of I'm just starting out. 20 years from now, I'll already be on my game. Mm-hmm. 20 years from now, you still feel like, ah, am I still the person? So the truth about all of this and everything is that, you know, whenever you identify it and everything, work through it. Okay, why do I feel this way? Okay, because I feel I'm incompetent. Okay, let me go through the track record of what I've been able to do, right? Mm-hmm. And actually get ahead of it. Okay, is it because I'm not able to learn? I'm not really so well versed in this aspect. So you learn, you get ahead of it. You use that fear should drive you to learn more about whatever it is you are doing as opposed to causing you to shrink back, you know? And for me, I'm saved. So it's always like, you know, spending time with God and asking God to actually give me the ability to do these things, right? Because I don't do it of my own ability, of my own strength, you know, asking God. Yeah, so I think that's the advice.
Wow, that was a lot. Okay, so just a few more questions. The first one is, what role does setting realistic goals and self-compassion, you know, just being kind to yourself, how do these play into managing imposter syndrome? You can take it one at a time. So we have setting realistic goals and then we have self-compassion.
Okay, so for setting realistic goals,
there's someone here.
Okay, we'll ask that out. Okay, so for setting realistic goals, I would say one of the problems with like, you know, I think you mentioned it about, you know, being a perfectionist or, you know, constantly being afraid of failing. The problem with imposter syndrome sometimes in some people is you set goals that are impossible for even anybody to reach, right? Because you're trying to prove, like, oh, I can really do this and everything. So I would say take it one step at a time. So even if what it is you're doing is large, so I'm not trying to say, oh, don't dream big or something, right? But if you have like a big picture, right? So one of the things that I learned, you know, like over the years, like, you know, in leadership is if I have this massive goal to achieve that has never been done before, right? I write it down. Then I take it down in, like, I break it down into smaller goals. Okay, so I want to do the largest, let's say, for example, I think the health outreach we had, you know, it's the largest one we had had, you know, in Babcock. I'm doing like five different stations at the same time, right? It's massive. It's bigger than me, right? But what are the smaller things involved? Okay, I need to have people that will be here. I need so-and-so number of volunteers. So it's like, even if you're setting a huge goal, we're not saying don't set big goals, right? But make smaller achievable goals that will lead you towards that goal and ask for help. Like, you can't, I mean, I wanted to do the largest, you know, health outreach in Babcock, you know, even the worship concert that we had, right? Yes, it was a massive goal, right? But I didn't do it by myself. There were so many people working with me, you know, behind the scenes. So set smaller targets and work with people that also are seeing the same vision with you. Not people that will come and be like, I'm not even doing too much. Yeah. Or just like be with people that are like-minded to help you achieve that goal. So,
yeah. Okay, and then self-compassion.
So for that self-compassion one, I really, really believe that it's so important, because if you're not kind to yourself, sometimes, you know, whenever you make mistakes, and I don't know if like, you know, if you're listening to this and you feel like, oh, this is me, you know, whenever you make mistakes and everything, right, you beat yourself up a lot more. And, you know, practical examples of this is, you know, for me during like some of the exams that, you know, like I would write, you know, in medical school, and some of them, you call them OSCE. So like you're moving, so they ring the bell after like maybe like 5 or 3 minutes, you know, and
like steeplechase.
Yes. Like a steeplechase kind of. Yeah. But this one is more of like, you know, clinical practice. Like they're actually like, you enter inside the place and there's actually like a doctor there, and you're going to be like examining the patient or asking the patient questions, or sometimes an oral exam, you know, you're dealing with a consultant, a mm-hmm. professor, you know. And sometimes I come out of the station, you know, and I feel very foolish. Like I'm like, ah, God, all the questions I was supposed to ask, I forgot, or, oh, I made this mistake, or maybe the person shouted at me. I was like, what are you doing? What is this? And, you know, I've forgotten the most basic things. I come out and I just feel so bad. So in the past, I would come out of this and I'll just be like, ah, this is what, you know, are you even qualified to even be a doctor? You know, are you even smart enough? If under pressure, you know, you can't handle, you know, and I will beat myself up. And after that bad station, every other station just goes downhill for me, because I would be crying. I would just be like, oh God, why am I here? You know, but so one of the things I started saying to myself, you know, is it's just a bad, you know, it's just a bad station. It's not a bad life. You know, sometimes even when I have bad days, it's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. You know, it's just a bad day. It's not a bad life. Like be kind to yourself. Oh, I made this mistake. Okay. It's fine. Like, don't dwell on it too much. Like, keep moving, you know. So those are the ways. And be kind to yourself. Like, you're a human being too. You're just living this life for the first time. So it's fine. You've made that mistake. It's okay. Just keep moving. Don't beat yourself. Don't be like, no, I have to tell myself the truth. I have to, yes, tell yourself the truth, you know, but don't beat yourself up to the point where you now hate yourself and you can't move on. So I'll say that.
Okay. So how can individuals handle feedback, constructive one or not sending out feedback, without triggering imposter syndrome?
That's a very good question. Like I said, this topic is so real. Like, it's too real, because I'm actually dealing with this right in my life. Recently, right, I got feedback from one of my friends about something about me. And I remember, like, you know, as she said it, it was so hurtful. Like, I remember I was just like, man, and it wasn't even like, oh, you're stupid or something, right? But it was just something that was so, like, I knew that she was genuinely saying this, like, wait, this is how you act. And I remember when I got that feedback, I was so sad about the whole thing. I was like, man, like, you know, I started thinking about my life. I'm like, whoa, like, is this how I act? And I started thinking about, like, you know, how other people have said this before, like at different times, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, that means, you know, for different people that have experienced me in different capacities to say this about me, right? That's truly actually how I act. Maybe it's not that I'm doing it intentionally, right? But that's how people perceive me to be. And then it kind of brought on this humility for me, because I'm like, you know, I really thought I was that girl. You know, I really thought I was, you know, perfect. You know, there's something in my head that always makes me feel like, oh, I'm perfect. Like, everybody else is the one with the mistake, you know. But when they now shine the light on me and I'm like, oh, wow, I actually have problems. I'm like, really? Am I the drama? You know, like, I'm just really like, you know, I'm so shocked. I'm like, am I really, do you actually really have flaws? So it's always very humbling, you know, for me whenever people say things that are actually true. They're not people that are spiteful, you know, that are actually saying the truth. So how do you navigate through that without, you know, triggering the imposter syndrome? Is understanding fully well that, okay, first of all, I'm not perfect. So admitting the fact that, like, okay, yes, maybe this is actually true. You know, maybe, okay, this is how I'm actually perceived, right? But that flaw in me doesn't define me, right? So I remember, you know, a time where, you know, I'd had a falling out with somebody, you know, as a leader. And I remember, you know, she had come to me and she had told me, you know, all these things about the way, like, you know, I hurt her and, you know, the ways that, you know, I didn't act right, you know, as a leader. And I remember, you know, as she was talking and everything, and she kept on going, you know, after expressing, you know, her displeasure and everything, she started talking about how, you know, she didn't see the fact that, like, you know, I would be a leader over her, you know, things like that. And as she was talking, I remember clearly the Holy Spirit was like, no, like, as per, differentiate what she's saying, right? There's a difference between, yes, she's right, you were wrong with the way you acted, right? Apologize to her, but that somebody would question your calling because of a mistake that you made is one thing. That, you know, that he was like, no, we're not doing this with her, right? So identify the fact that, yes, it's a mistake that I've made, right? But it doesn't define me. It doesn't, I'm not defined by that. Like, I can make mistakes, right? And I would learn from my mistakes. So I apologized to her and everything. And I decided to start to act better. So constructive criticism would help you only if you don't attach your entire worth to, that, you know, feedback. That. Yes, exactly.
Okay, so my podcast is centered around mental health. And oftentimes, I think maybe people are expecting very deep conversations like, oh, we're talking about depression today, schizophrenia tomorrow. But mental health is so wide. And you have to understand that each topic that I pick, I consider the effects on the mind. And once it has an effect on the mind, then it's worthy to be a topic here. So if you're wondering, what is the connection between imposter syndrome or imposter syndrome and mental health? You know, it could lead to stress. It causes anxiety. You know, you get burnt out and it just affects your overall well-being. And that's why it's something that you need to shed light on. It's something that you have to take time to process and say that, okay, this is actually a thing for me. And for me to be at a place of, you know, a stable place in my life or just maintaining that sanity, you have to address this problem and make sure that it doesn't get to the point where it now derails your mental health. And even in a professional context, you know, imposter syndrome, it affects your choices. You know, decisions you make or decisions you don't make can be as a result of imposter syndrome. And then it affects how you advance in your place of work or in school. And just the whole workplace dynamic now becomes very, not necessarily toxic, but just not bearable, you know, not conducive in the way that it should be. So, yeah, that's the connection between this topic and mental health in just one way. So one thing I want to speak on now, and I think I've exhausted my questions for you. Well, I just want to add that social media generally is an avenue to, you know, imposter syndrome. Especially, for instance, LinkedIn. People share their personal lives so much on the internet. And, you know, sometimes it's questionable. Keep some things to yourself, you know. But at the same time, okay, you want to brag, you want to show your resume, stuff like that. But the fact that you share this thing, it makes it easier for you to compare yourself with these people. And the funny thing is, a lot of times people are lying. Like, some people lie on LinkedIn. They exaggerate the thing so much. Maybe, I don't know whether I'm being bitter or a hater, but it's true. Some people let you go on there and be saying things that in your mind, you're like, ah, you're 22. This is your third degree. How? Like, sometimes the mass is not just massive. I'm sorry. It's not just massive. So you have to realize that this is social media. Not everything is real. So don't take everything so personally that comes on social media. And then you're thinking, oh my gosh, she's 20. And she's already on Forbes on that 30 list. I have 4 more years. Oh my gosh, there's no hope for me. Stuff like that. You know, just remember that this is what they want you to see. Every other thing that they don't want you to see, they're not going to share. So don't put your whole life pedestal on the things that you see on social media, because it's not going to work out. You have to stop comparing yourself. I know there was this period where I was on YouTube, because for the longest time I took a break from YouTube, maybe because school network and all that. But I remember that growing up, I loved being on YouTube, just watching creators grow and, you know, just seeing their prowess in how they handle cameras and editing and all that. So I think it was December, I found myself back on YouTube because I was home and everything. And normally I have just few creators that I subscribe to their channel because they constantly release things that, you know, impact me and inspire me. But this particular period on YouTube, the algorithm was just sending so many good people to my algorithm. I was like, oh my gosh, all these people are doing so well. And this sudden like feeling of,
incompetence.
Yeah, I just felt so incompetent. I'm like, oh my God, so many people are doing so well out there in this space. And I'm still here, still figuring with my, it was just a lot. And I just felt this burden and I felt so sad. How long, when will my time come? Do you understand? Because you're seeing success stories and I want to be happy for you. And sometimes I truly, in fact, most times I am genuinely happy. But then it's like, what me uncle? You know, do you understand? And I just had to, that day, I just left YouTube because I knew that no, you have to get out of this space. When you're better, come back and continue. But for now, take a break. You know, just take a break from social media sometimes. Yeah, that's just it. I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah. One thing I also want to add is the fact that you know, people. Okay, so I wouldn't, because you know, okay, everybody may not be, you know, actually faking these achievements online. You know, some people are actually able to have done all of these wonderful things definitely. At very, very young ages, right? So one thing that I've learned, and one of the things that, you know, I've seen in the past, you know, people say is that, you know, people only put their wins, you know, their massive wins on social media or broadcast them, or even if people talk about their failures, you know, in any sense, right? They talk about their failures, you know, after they've achieved success, right? Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm able to say, oh, yes, I was in America before and I came to Nigeria, you know, but I'm able to say that now because I'm a doctor now, right? Yeah. If I was just in my... yes, you'll be like, okay, so why is she not telling us, you get, she has not done anything really, mm-hmm. you know? So always remember that, you know, people would always put things like that out, you know, after they've excelled, after a failure, right? Or people just put their successes out there. It's always, you know, I think Nigerians call it packaging, you know, so mm-hmm. these are the type of things that people do, right? So how do you navigate through that, you know, not feeling overwhelmed or feeling less than other people? I used to experience that before, right? I used to go through Instagram, especially when I came back to Nigeria, and like see all my friends in America, you know, really just doing their own thing or graduate. I just used to cry a lot because I used to be like, you know, look at me, I'm back here in the middle of nowhere, Ogun State, you know, like from America, like God should help me or something, you know. So one thing you must always do is, you know, apart from taking a break from social media, definitely is understand that, like, you know, there's process to things, right? There's process. Mm-hmm. You know, if I read out, like, you know, my track record or my resume, you know, of leadership, and if somebody may be like, wow, like, I wish I could be like, ha, wow, this type of girl, right? But it took time. It took process, right? It took a while. So be committed to your own process. Like, don't be comparing yourself to another person and be like, ah, when she was 20, she was, you know, she already had 5 awards. You may get your own awards when you're 40. It doesn't matter, right? Like, be committed to your own process and focus on your own lane. Like, do what you're supposed to do. Show up. That doesn't mean that you should be doing rub. Like, you're not going to put in your best. Put in your best where you are. If you have not started planning, you know, concerts of 1,000 people, your job now is to make sure that your group members submit their project by Monday evening. Mm-hmm. You get, like, make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do, because these are the little things that prepare you for bigger things. So just be focused on where you are. Focus on your own process, your own season. It's preparing you for bigger. Genuinely, it is. So, yeah.
Okay, so we've come to the end of this section of the episode. Yay. I don't even think end of the podcast. No, you're not done. No. I'm not sure if I mentioned it earlier, but we want our listeners to feel more involved in the process. So we have a Google form linked to our Instagram bio now. That's at FUTP. So if you have a question, if you want to share a dilemma, if you want to get an outsider opinion on when we announce upcoming topics, because a lot of times I can put it on my Instagram story or my Snapchat, I'm talking about this, what do you guys want to listen, da 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 da. So instead of trying to make sure that all the texts, I remember them, now there's a Google form. So you, like, if it's a question, if it's a suggestion, anything at all. So it's linked on the Instagram, again, at FUTP. I'll put the description or the link in the description. So, and you get to share anonymously, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I don't want people to know that I'm going through this. Like, I don't know why you don't want me to know, Sha, but I want you to feel safe, you know, sharing at your time and just knowing that, you know, people just rather share anonymously a lot of times. So, yeah, that's something I want to do this year, like, to grow and to connect with you guys more. So I actually did this already a few days. And when I put that I was going to talk on this imposter syndrome, I got 2 questions. So this first question is from user Help Me Help Me. The question goes, are there any specific books, articles, or resources you recommend for those looking to delve deeper into understanding and overcoming imposter syndrome?
Okay, so I wouldn't really know of any particular books per se, but I think one of the things that helped me, you know, even preparing for this, you know, just like basically researching, because I didn't really understand the imposter syndrome, was I'm a visual learner, so I really love YouTube a lot. Like, I love watching YouTube videos. So I listened to, I think, two different people on TEDx. So they, you know, had given, like, you know, short, you know, talks about this, you know, and it really helped a lot. Like for me, it was just, and they were very, very practical, you know, very, very practical about it. So for me, it's always YouTube videos. So watching TEDx videos on people that, you know, had overcome imposter syndrome, the imposter syndrome rather,
Okay. So I took, I wrote the Bible. There's some parts of the Bible that definitely would help you to, you know, navigate through these things. You just have to be patient and like study. Because I feel that, I mean, that has everything, you know. And then the second thing, this is like an article. So there's this Harvard Business Review article. And the topic, you can just search for the title, is Stop Telling Women They Have Imposter Syndrome. That is the name of the article. And it's a very good read. Obviously, even as a guy, when you read this thing, like I said in the beginning, this imposter syndrome is not one gender. It's all genders, all demographics. So I feel this article would really help a lot. And also, like she said, she's a audio learner. I'm a visual learner, audio learner, audio visual. So some podcasts like my own. So if you're here and you've been waiting for you to help me, one day say my question, listen to the podcast again. Now that you know that we've actually addressed this, you know, just try and listen to it again, share with someone, you know, in case Isa Help Me never listens to this episode, we have to find her or him. So please share this episode as much as you can. But yeah, listening to podcasts, YouTube videos, this, there are a lot of resources out there that will help you navigate through this.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And then I also wanted to add, you know, even about, you know, the Bible, sometimes people always think it's very generic, like, oh, just read the Bible, right? But I read something somewhere where somebody was saying, you know how people wake up in the morning and they say, oh, you know, like, speak to yourself in the mirror, you know, I'm smart, I'm confident, I'm this. All of those things are wonderful, right? But the beauty about the Bible is that it's not just your truth or my truth. The Bible is the truth. Like, it is like literally what God says about you. So when you read the Bible, you know, you're reading it as the truth, like what my creator has to say about me, right? So that would help you. It's not just like a self-help mantra. Like, it's like, this is the truth about who I am, coming from the person that created me. So, you know, reading the Bible is not just, okay, I'm just reading it for reading's sake. It's like, I'm reminding myself, or I'm defining myself exactly how the person that created me is, you know, that's defines me.
Okay, so the last question is from noname312. Maybe we should get more creative, please. This person says, I love the idea and I'm excited for you this year. Oh, thank you. My question is, what coping mechanisms have proven effective in managing imposter syndrome? Okay, so I think I took some notes. Acknowledging accomplishments, and this include the big and small wins. In fact, especially the small wins. Something I did last year that really helped me was every little thing that I accomplish, I put it in my notes. And anytime I'm feeling underaccomplished, I just go back to my notes. I'm like, oh, I've done all these little things. And like, there's so many. And then there are also big ones there as well. So, you know, just acknowledge your wins, whether they're big and small. Because a factor can be you're thinking, or what you perceive a big win is so over the top that you now underplay all these beautiful things and, and great things that you've done. So the little ones, to other people, it might be a very big deal. So you can be like, let me not give any instance. But yeah, the little things are as important as the big ones. So just acknowledge your wins. And then let's see, what else? Okay, seeking support. What was the question?
Coping mechanisms.
Okay, yes. So seeking support and setting realistic goals and also reframing for negative thoughts. But let me just expand a little on that, setting realistic goals. I think you already touched on that. If you have a big picture, you know, you have to break it down to smaller pictures. And when you accomplish this little task that will lead you to that big picture, acknowledge it, you know. Today, I completed all my tasks because I want to be a better person in a month. Acknowledge that you've done that. You know, that is a big deal. So I think, yeah, those are the things I would say. I don't know if you have anything to add to the answer the question. Coping mechanisms.
Okay, coping mechanisms, like I said again, you know, I said before and I'll say again, you know, just literally learn to identify it, right? Speak to people about it. After speaking to people about it, right, process, why do I feel this way? How do I go about, you know, like actually using this fear to drive me towards actually doing what it is I'm supposed to do instead of talking myself out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm able to use the fear to push me towards doing it, right? So you're able to be like, okay, the reason why I feel this way is because, oh, I feel like I'm not well versed in this area. Okay, become well versed in that area, like study about it, right? Have enough knowledge about it so you're more confident about it. Most importantly, trust God to help you, because at the end of the day, you know, there are going to be a lot of rooms that you're going to find yourself in that you may feel incompetent in, right? And sometimes it's really the grace of God that really puts you there, right? So ask God for the grace and the strength to navigate through it and everything, but don't talk yourself out of it.
Thank you for that. So on a closing note, imposter syndrome impacts people across demographics, industries, and cultures, and it affects both men and women. And it's safe to say it is rooted in self-esteem, resulting to an internal struggle with one's own self, sense of worth and competence. You're not alone, remember that, and maybe spend less time on LinkedIn and social media in general. Okay, so up next, we'll be talking about friendship jealousy. You don't worry, this topic is not for you. I'm just giving them a heads up because I'm trying to, you know, encourage people to share more. Because besides, I enjoy the reviews I get, but a lot of times the reviews that people get are like additions. And I'm like, this would have been a very wordy ad. Do you understand? So I can now go back and say, you guys remember that last episode, though? My friend said this. Do you understand? So this Google form is like an avenue to any contributions that you want to say, any dilemma that you want to share, let's have it to the podcast. You know, I can't feature everyone, but this is like, if you intentionally want this part or this experience to be known, then feel free to share. So we'll be talking on friendship jealousy. So if you have a lot to say, you have questions, again, the link is in our Instagram bio. So don't forget to share and follow us on Instagram and on Spotify as well. Drop a comment, drop a review. And I also started this blog page, like a WordPress page where I summarize the episodes, share highlights, and then there's also a comment section. So I'm just trying to connect with the audience a little more this year. So we have come to the end of this episode. If you're still listening, I want to give a huge thank you. And I don't know, is there anything you like to say to our audience before we call it a day?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I'm really proud of you, Bill, how hard you work. I've worked with you in Busa and I've seen, you know, how creative you are and how, you know, you put in your best into the work they are given. And I'm really proud of you and your podcast.
You guys, I'm blushing here.
This is my first time, you know, being on a podcast and it's really an honor. You know, I'm like, wow, the first time, you know, Friends Unfiltered, the podcast. So I'm really proud of you, Bill. And I really hope that, you know, your podcast goes to places like top places, you know, even beyond, you know, just, you know, it's not even just, but being on people's, you know, Spotify Wrapped is, you know, a big deal, you know, but that, you know, the influence that, you know, you need to, you know, have over people, you know, people understanding mental health issues, you know, that you really achieve all of that. And I really hope God helps you. I'm really proud of you and I really hope that your podcast does well. Like I'm rambling at this point, but yeah, I'm really proud of you. And I really hope that everything it is that you're doing, that people actually see the effort you're putting in and really support your work. To people that are listening, I'm really honored that you took out time, you know, to listen to me. I don't know. I just really hope God helps me too.
All right. So you guys have heard it from Dr. Uyi. We're going places and I'm also rooting for you. And this is not just, you know, like give back a compliment, but I've worked for you as well. And for me to drag you here, knowing that this is one of your last days in this school, I said, no, we have to have this episode. You know, people have to hear the way that I admire so much. Aww. So, yeah, I literally dragged her because she told me that Thursdays, I said this Wednesday will be here. And we did it. And I'm so happy that we got to pull it off. I feel so much value has been shared. And I just pray that it reaches the right audience to help so many people, even more than I imagine. So thank you guys once again. And this is goodbye till next time.
Bye, guys.